We know this world, that is, we experience it by our five senses. This world holds the attention of most people. But we need to understand that there's another world. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." It's so easy to become enamored with the things of this world, the things that we can see and touch and smell and taste and hear. And certainly God has blessed us with so many senses and being sensitive to the environment around us and many things that we can enjoy and the things of His creation that declare His glory. But we need to be cautioned that we do not think that that's all there is to life and that that's the best that can be found. You know, we struggle, as it were, between heaven and earth. We're physical creatures, and yet we know through the scriptures that we have an immortal soul. And that immortal soul longs for the fellowship of its creator, God. There's a realm of the spirit. Paul is telling us there in Colossians, there's where we really need to focus our attention on spiritual matters. And God has revealed that realm through His word. Now, we can discover this realm. All we have to do is walk around and look and listen, and we can learn a lot from this world. But if we're going to learn anything about the spirit realm, we're going to have to do so from the pages of God's word. And we need to ask ourselves, where are we longing for? Is this the world we want for ourselves forever, or is there something better that we desire? Oftentimes, when we have good health and prosperity and lots of people that love us and all the things that we want, we might wish, oh, that this could go on forever. But we know that that cannot be, because the time will come when our health will depart. And oftentimes, the people that love us and that we love, they depart as well. And the world may get to become a place where we find no pleasure. And then we might begin to think about, is there something else? But if we haven't prepared ourselves during the time that we have available, if we wait till those last few days or years, we may not find it in our hearts to focus our attention on the spiritual realm, because it's just not been anything a part of our lives. When we think of being earth-based but heaven-bound creatures, we need to remember that God has given us a pattern. It's not as if He has just placed us here and said, find your way to heaven somehow. He's told us how to get there, and there's a pattern to it. And some things that we can see are found in Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to be focusing on a number of passages there, beginning at verse 17. Paul says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." Brethren, be followers together. And the New King James Version and the English Standard Version have the phrase, "join in." It's like a group project. We're not trying to get to heaven all by ourselves and just us, but we're interested in others going as well. And especially we should be interested in the people that we meet with and that we worship with week in and week out. These are people that we should count as our friends. And surely if they're our friends, we want the best for them. And the best, of course, is what God has to offer in heaven. So he says, join in together with me. And of course, when we look at Paul's life, we can see a man who was certainly devoted to Christ. And he's talking about mark them. And sometimes when you see the word mark in the scriptures, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, until we understand that it means basically to observe, to take note of. He says, take note of those who walk so. And that word so, I think you'll find, is an adverb of manner. That is, those who walk in a certain way as you have us for an example. So be looking about for those good examples of Christian lives and join in with them in following together, joining together in this journey from earth to heaven. Certainly we have apostolic examples, and Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now again, we follow the principles of Paul's life, and those, of course, were the principles of Christian living. We don't have to travel all over the area of Asia Minor and into Greece and Macedonia and various other places in the Mediterranean in thinking, well, I'm trying to follow Paul in his footsteps, but rather in trying to follow the teachings of Christ as Paul reveals them to us through the Holy Spirit and today for us in the Scriptures. So following a good example is certainly a benefit and something that we ought to do. There's an old saying, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." I'm not disparaging sermons. Being a preacher, I certainly wouldn't. But there's a lot more to be learned by observation. That is, in observing the life of a faithful Christian. And again, we need to be watching out and looking for those good examples that we can follow. Sometimes it's helpful to read about good examples. There are many good biographies of Christians who have lived, and some of them who have passed away, in fact, most of them, that you can obtain, and you can read about the things that they went through and the times that their faith was tried, and it will be inspiring to you to see what they did and how they overcame great obstacles. But of course, Jesus must be our priority. Yes, it's good to follow a good human example, but Jesus is the perfect example, and he has to be first in our lives. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." Paul says, you know, it's Jesus that I keep my eyes on. Yes, we need to be watchful for one another and learn what we can from those, but keep Jesus as the master teacher. There are, of course, again, as I say, following examples. We need to keep our eyes on the faithful. And walking, the word walk is often used in the Scripture as a term that has to do with the way we live. We see that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." The idea is of traveling. When you're walking, you're traveling, unless you're on a treadmill. But we are to be walking or living in the light. That is our daily behavior. That's our walk. And Paul says, take and pay attention to those people who walk in the example of Christ. Now, of course, on the other hand, there are examples to avoid. Oftentimes, young children especially are, let's say, too much affected by bad examples. They see it on the TV. Sometimes they see it in school. And they pick up habits and behaviors, and the parents scratch their head and think, where did they ever learn that? But children, they're just like little sponges, and they soak up all these influences, and they don't know oftentimes what's good and what's bad. And so we need to be very careful about negative examples, because many are going the wrong way. Again, Paul says to be followers together and mark those or watch those who are walking as they should. But on the other hand, in verse 18 of Philippians 3, he says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Here's the other side of the coin, as it were. Here are people who are also walking. That is, they are living, they are in the activities of life, but he says, it's sad about them. He says, it makes me weep when I think of where they're going, because they're going to destruction, and you certainly don't want to be influenced to be following after them. It seems that for every good example, there's a bad one. And so we need to watch out, because we tend sometimes to pick up that herd mentality. You know, if you look at some of the videos of various animals, and especially it seems like the birds and many of the four-footed beasts, they all kind of herd together. You see cows, sometimes cows, they're all spread out all over the pasture. Other times they're together. But I'm amazed at some of the animals in Africa, like the wildebeest. They herd together and they'll go maybe 1,000 miles. And the idea of branching out on their own and finding their own way, it's not in them. We go where the herd goes. Likewise with birds. Birds flock together, you know, birds of a feather. Do we just follow the herd? Do we see a bunch of people doing a particular thing or living in a particular way and think, well, I guess that's what I ought to do? Well, some people think that way. If they don't know anything about God, if they don't know the scriptures, they may think, well, whatever people are doing, that must be the right thing. Otherwise, why would they do it? Surely they all can't be wrong. But it is the case that most of them are wrong. And so we need to be careful that we don't follow in the wrong way because of herd mentality. You see, there are false teachers. Again, Peter warns us, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Jesus talked about them being blind leaders of the blind. Let them alone. They are blind leaders. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Again, you know, who would apply for a job as a guide somewhere who didn't know anything about the place? I suppose you could say they could be trained, but if they're going to be a good guide, they're going to have to know that place. And if you can't see it, how can you know it? Jesus is, of course, referring to many of the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers that he had to deal with. They were blind, not physically, but spiritually they were blind. And where they were going was not in the direction that God wanted. And it seems that some of them, that their errors are without end. I have said sometimes that there's nothing so bizarre, but it's what somebody can get up and preach it, and somebody will follow them. It's just strange, very weird, some of the things you hear that people will teach in the name of religion, even in the name of Christ, and it is so foreign to what the New Testament teaches. Peter again says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. A damnable heresy might be what we used to call fatal error. That is, it's an error, it's a heresy so unorthodox, so unscriptural, that to believe it and hold to it is to, you might say, forfeit your salvation. There were some heresies that developed in the latter part of the first century and in the second and third, and then, of course, on and on after that, some of which even did deny Jesus. That is, they denied his reality, that he was a real person. They taught that he was a phantom, that he was more like what we might consider a hologram, but there really wasn't a person there, just an appearance. And then there were those who taught that, well, the Christ came upon the man Jesus at his baptism and left him shortly before the cross, so that the person who died on the cross wasn't the Son of God. He was just the man Jesus. And again, that kind of thinking, I don't know how God can save a person who denies the person and the deity of his own Son. In our effort to follow the Lord, we need to remember that God has a plan for us. This has been, of course, by his divine wisdom to make a way that we could be saved. Again, Paul says in Philippians 3, now 20 and 21, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able also to subdue all things unto himself." Our conversation, that's an old King James word, which means manner of life. Our manner of life comports to heaven, not this world. And we want to identify with heaven and not with this world. So we can't live the way the world lives. But we're looking to heaven, and we're waiting on the Lord to come and take us there forever. To live that way here, of course, we need to have that renewed mind that Paul tells us about in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. But also our love must be there. Here our mind is renewed day by day as we study God's word, but our love keeps up in heaven. Again, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." Jesus promised that if he went away, that he would prepare a place for us. In John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus has promised to prepare a place for a prepared people. And it's up to us today to follow the teachings of the New Testament so that we continue to be prepared, so that if the Lord comes tonight or tomorrow or next week, if he comes 1,000 years from now, we're prepared and we've been waiting. You see, it's for heavenly people. We need to kind of live as if we were pilgrims. We're expatriates. We are in a foreign land. Yes, we are born here in this world. But as the song says, this world is not my home. God will suit us for heaven. Philippians 3:21, again, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." Again, we don't know a whole lot about the nature of the resurrection body. Paul talks about mortal putting on immortality and corruption putting on incorruption. There's something better that God has for us. It'll be a body that can never die, that won't be sick. And what a wonderful blessing that will be. Never be tired. And all the things that we think of associated with the infirmities that we have here in this world, it won't be there. There won't be anybody that needs an operation. What a wonderful blessing. And so he will do that for us. He'll suit our bodies for heaven. But we need to keep looking for Jesus. Again, our conversation is in heaven. That's what we identify with. And we look for him to return someday. You know, God has told us how to go to heaven. You know, we might be earthly creatures, but we're heaven bound, and he has not left us in the dark about how to make that journey. And we have good examples to follow, both in the scriptures and in the lives of the saints of the past and in the people that we might associate with in the church. And we can achieve our real purpose for living. And that is, of course, to be saved, to go to heaven. That's why God brought you into the world, not just so that you could take up space and eat your quantity of food and do, you know, your quantity of work, but it was his intent that someday that you could be with him forever. And we shouldn't let ourselves down, and certainly not let the Lord down, in that he died to make it possible for this to happen. So this evening, if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ and you want to be one of those who has made the trip from earth to heaven, his plan for you, of course, is to believe in Christ, repent of sins, confess your faith, and be buried with him in baptism for remission of sins. Sometimes people begin that journey and somehow they get distracted and they forget their purpose. If you have somehow been waylaid from the way, repent of that. Come back to Christ. Ask God to forgive and he's promised to do so if we repent. So at this time, our song of encouragement is for you as we stand and as we sing.